Hi everyone, this is Evan Murray, and this is Music Industry Insights. I am a conference coordinator, I am a consultant, I do many things. I love the music industry, I'm very passionate about it. I work in many different countries around the world, and I really enjoy talking to music business people about the music business. Today is a very interesting podcast because it is solely about the country of India. I work as an international marketplace consultant in India for a major production company, artist management company. They create television programs, short films, and they also host major festivals inside of India and in the Emirates. This company is called Wonderwall Media. They're based out of the south of India, the southwest state of Kerala. India is made out of 30 states. India kind of seems more like a continent than a country because India is so diverse. There's many, many different languages, many, many different dialects. The religious aspects of India are very diverse. India is a world to its own. The music industry is extraordinarily unique as well because the music industry has a very, very strong relationship with the movie industry. So what that means is that cinema in India is different than it is in other countries. Like, yes, people in India still watch American movies and, you know, international movies, but there's a whole different system of movies there. There's a whole different system of entertainment there, which is called Bollywood. And Bollywood mostly utilizes the national language of Hindi and also elements of Punjab. And so the thing is that it's not really driven by the English language at all or includes the English language at all. And these songs that are very, very popular throughout the cinematic history are actually the songs that entire families learn together. An example of this in Western culture would be something like Hakuna Matata, you know, in The Lion King or whatever. Everyone's singing that song or whatever movie that was in. I have no idea. Maybe The Jungle Book. But anyways, it's much more larger and much more common in India for whole families to know the lyrics and to know songs and, you know, based from movies. And it's also common for artists to keep continuing on covering those, you know, cinematic songs as well, and then putting them in future movies as well as you know, and keep going. So the thing is that the music industry is ultimately different than the way that music industries work anywhere else in the world. And that's why I gathered three music professionals to talk to me. I got an entertainment lawyer, I got a music journalist, and I got a promoter / digital distribution professional. And we sat around for about 45 minutes or over an hour or so, and we talked about the music industry of India. I do hope that you enjoy this podcast. I hope that you learn from this podcast, and I hope that it gives you a deeper insight into thinking about a career inside of India and how it is a very diverse marketplace. If you like this podcast, please comment. Please shoot me an email at musicindustryins.net. And please enjoy. Welcome to India. Today, I'm joined with three panelists from the country of India. And this is to gain deeper insight into the industry there and kind of how it's functioning. I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. We're going to go one at a time here. And because I've known Anurag for a number of years, I'll let him start. And then Anurag, please pass it to the next person.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Evan. My name is Anurag Tagit. I'm a music journalist based out of Bangalore here in India. And I've been doing this for about 10 years now across publications, but mainly for Rolling Stone India. been sort of covering the independent music space more or less. Once in a while, we sort of do get into covering mainstream music here in India, but mostly independent artists who have been trying to sort of break away and do different things, essentially. So that's basically what I've been covering at festivals, as well as artists and things like that, and newer sort of formats that have been coming up, especially in the last year and a half. So yeah, that's me, and I'm gonna pass it on to Ritnika.
Hi everyone, I am Ritnika Nain, and I basically have various jobs. I have my own music company in India called Music Gets Me High. And under the company, we have done everything from artist management, bookings, we own a rehearsal studio. We've done various music festivals. We teach music business. I've written a book on music business. So yeah, basically anything and everything to do with music. And then I am also the country head for CD Baby. And I also represent some of the other downtown music companies, which are Fuga, Song Trust in India. And I will pass it on to Sandhya.
Thank you. I've had the lovely opportunity to interact with everyone over here, and thank you for having me. I'm Sandhya Surendran. I am a media and entertainment lawyer. I've kind of specialized and focused on the music industry in the last 6 years, and I had my own practice called Lexic, which I kind of, you know, I didn't really abandon it, but I've you know, let it lie low for a bit. I currently work with Vice as senior legal counsel for Asia Pacific, but I also have my podcast, which is on the music industry business in India, called Lex Talk Music, and really happy to be here.
Hey, thank you very much to the three of you. And I mean, yeah, you're both holding like very significant positions inside of the inside of the music industry in India. So I'm, you know, I'm very thankful that the three of you are here to talk today. So I'm going to go over some questions. And I'd like to, we can just kind of freely answer them. Like if someone wants to take the mic first, or someone wants to add to the answer, you know, please feel free. So the first question I guess I'm going to throw out there is more of like an overview question. Let's talk about the regions. Like, let's talk about, you know, like India is 30 states. I know that there's many different languages. So let's talk about the regions and the music culture. Like, can someone start with, like, is India like a northwest, east, south country, or is it like a 30 state country? Like, how would you kind of explain the music region and culture?
I think in India, it is state-wise, language-wise. I mean, we have, every state has their own language. And in that language, we have dialects and, you know, and various versions of it and stuff like that. So for us, every state is like its own little country in a sense, because they have their own music, they have their own vibe, they have, you know, in different dialects. So my personal opinion is that we have a lot of different mini countries within India, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Anurag, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I think like one of the things that India has always portrayed to the world is its diversity. And I think that that is very, very much present in the music industry, as it is, you know, with anything else that you sort of talk about with relations to India. So the music itself is as diverse as you can imagine the culture to be. And it's very much embedded, you know, like there's so much music in India outside of independent music, outside of mainstream music that exists that we don't even document so much. So, you know, there's always so much on the fringes that is, you know, just there to be explored. And, you know, hopefully we, yeah, that's the exciting part about this job, that you can explore it.
Sanya, can you please add to that?
I mean, I agree with both of them in terms of like how diverse the country is, and how I think it's also unique in the way that you have a very active music industry that kind of lives within the film industry, and then you have the non-film industry music as well, and that kind of applies across the states. So imagine the different groups or the components of how the, you know, the music scene works here. And I think you do have north, the north and the south are fairly more active in terms of like the kind of content that's put out there, like whether it's movie wise or whether it's like non-film music wise. And I think because of that, we have like different industry practices and different kinds of, I don't know how to put it, like business appeal to each of these regions. And I understand that labels have also like kind of gauged their importance and the relevance of the music coming from these regions based on this. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. Like, is there a, like, you know, when we talk about music, like, I do we have to break up like independent sector and professional sector when we talk about India, or can we talk about India as in like just the music industry? Like, is there a difference?
There's a big difference. There's a huge difference.
Okay. Yeah, please explain.
So, and if you look at it from an international standpoint, if you go outside India, you know, you look at majors and you look at indie, and everybody know anybody that is not signed to any of the three majors is considered indie. That's how it works everywhere else in the world. But in India, we have indie and we have the film industry or Bollywood, you know. So any, and about what, 90%, 95%, you know, something like that of music that comes out of India is Bollywood. So in India, if you are either a Bollywood artist or you're an indie artist, and indie artists in that category includes from everything from your guys who are actually genuinely independent, plus your folk musicians, jazz musicians, anybody who is not in Bollywood, basically. That's the big difference. So India works in a whole different way.
Okay, so that's like super important to know, because that's incredibly interesting. And what I'm wondering now is like, is there certain types of genres that are mainly emerging from certain parts of India? Like, is there, like, if I was to talk about like metal, or if I was to talk about rap, or if I was to talk about movie music, you know, like, is there certain, you know, distinct parts where I'm going to find more of a culture there of that type of music?
Well, it's kind of tough to say. I feel like, you know, India's independent music space has sort of been moving on like that national scale more than, you know, I mean, there's obviously things that happen on a regional scale that don't happen elsewhere, but I guess most recently a trend is, you know, hip hop music did become bigger in India just, you know, over the last 5 years or so, maybe more. And we've been seeing hip hop come from all parts of the country in all different languages. And they sort of, some of them bring in, you know, like a folk fusion flavor to the production. Some of them, you know, some of them just really have language as their advantage, because some languages like Tamil, for example, are really, really, Tamil, Malayalam, a lot of these languages are very sort of very fertile for, you know, like having very deep lyrics and having a lot of interpretation. So I think we've been seeing that kind of movement. And at the same time, I feel like, yes, you know, like it's sort of a misconception in some ways, but it's also accepted. For example, like the northeast part of India, a lot of people believe that rock is big there, and that you know, like metal is big there. But the truth is that they're about all kinds of music as well. But at the same time, I think that, I guess, for example, that if a rock band from internationally was to come down to that part of the country, you would probably get a lot more listeners and attendees than in other parts.
Okay, that's really great information, to be honest. That's kind of what I'm digging for here. So thank you for that. I'm going to move on. I know we could probably just sit and talk about that subject itself for like an hour, but I'm just going to kind of mosey here. Let me ask you this, Sanha. I'm going to come to you for this one. What was the music industry like 15 years ago compared to what it's like now?
I mean, I don't... It was, like I said, the music industry back like in 15 years ago would have been so film industry heavy, and that all our laws and regulations... Sorry, I'm bringing up regulations because as a lawyer, that's the most that you interact with. And it hadn't really evolved to kind of reflect what the real situation was back then. It's not like we didn't have independent music, but everything was determined based on film music. So, and Bollywood specifically, because it contributed to like the majority of, you know, the music being consumed. But today I feel that things have changed, and especially post 2012, where we had the copyright laws being amended. So, and with streaming and independent distribution coming into the picture, I think the industry practices have also slowly started evolving. But back in the day, like if you're talking about, say, 25 years ago, we had nothing really regulating how musicians operated. But things changed a little after digital music kicked in. And then in the last 5 years, things have been evolving. So there's been, a huge growth curve as such. And I think industry stakeholders have also kept evolving over a period of time, like how important record labels were back in like 25 or 15 years ago, even, compared to how important they are today. And I'm not saying that they aren't, but they've kind of decreased in importance, because you do have the option of going independent and being popular. And there are artists who have proved to be popular despite having come from a non-film background and maybe indulging in music which is not as mainstream as, you know, most of the music that is being consumed today. Mm.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm just going to add to something here and then give it over to Ritnika, because like she's also seen a lot of change. Like, I mean, I would just say, in addition to what Sandhya said, which is that, yeah, there's been definitely a sense of infrastructure sort of coming in. But more than that, like she touched upon streaming, and, you know, like that's definitely important in the sense that I feel like India has mirrored a global trend in that sense, where, you know, like the whole internet leveling the playing field, so to speak, or just democratizing things, it's really helped Indian artists, like really the Indian music industry, come up in ways that weren't possible before. And yeah, I think like Ritnika can tell you more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working in the industry for 20 years now, and I was in the US, I was in London, and I started my company 14 years ago in India. So when you talk about 15 years ago, I've been there for pretty much that long. And when I started, there were less, I'm not going to touch upon, you know, streaming and stuff, because you guys already have, but let's talk about management companies. Let's talk about live events. When I started my management company, I think there was like one or two other companies in the whole of the country that did artist management professionally. The first multi-stage festival that happened, I worked on it. It was called Eastwind. Nobody made any money. Everybody, the people who organized it, went bankrupt. We didn't get paid. Nothing happened. But it really paved the way for what we see today, which is a lot of festivals and, you know, and everything. So back then, I mean, it was just Bollywood or folk music or whatever. And the concept of independent music was mainly like college festivals and, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And it's only in the last, I'm going to say 10 to 12 years, that things have slowly evolved. And now we have so many management companies, so many booking agencies, festival promoters, things like that. So there's been a huge change.
Okay, that's quite significant. And I'm like, the thing is too, is that, you know, this kind of brings me to wondering about some things that you're talking about, because like for one thing, I noticed, like when I first came across like the kind of scene in India, let's say, is that what I was noticing, there was these massive concerts in like, you know, education institutions, like whether it would be like technology, like engineering university, stuff like that. Like that's what I was seeing from an outsider until I started kind of working with Wonderwall Media. And then I saw it was like more mainstream, like, you know, public. But like, I mean, from a outsider or foreigner, I mean, it was very strange for me to see these like that's where the marketplace, say, like the popular marketplace was happening, was in these institutions. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think is that where it started? Like where, like, you know, in the education systems, or was it just something that kind of happened?
I think, I mean, I don't know if that's where I started. I think maybe Anurag, you might have some history on that. But the reason it happened, you know, colleges and all have done music festivals is because it's part of their, they have that, you know, it's part of their cultural interaction kind of thing. Like, so when I was in the States, that's how I started doing concerts because we had a concert organizing committee in our college. You know, so it's basically student activity, something to do within the college to get, you know, the cultural fests and things like that. And because it's a college, it's easier to get funds, whether it's from the college or getting a sponsor, it's kind of easier to kind for them to raise money. So I feel that's the main reason why college fests happen. And because they had money, they were like, hey, let's get bigger bands. Let's get the bands we all want to see. I personally feel that's it. That's how it happened. But there have been other kind of shows, right, Anurag? I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, based on just, you know, like my research and stuff, I've seen that how it evolved was mostly, you know, it was through sort of sponsors always. Like there were always private sponsors that stepped up to, you know, whether it was contests or whether it was even just standalone competitions that used to happen, like a battle of the bands kind of thing. Those were all always more or less privately funded, sometimes government funded or partly funded, at least offered some sort of support by government. But that's been rare over the years. And what essentially picked up later, like Ritnika said, was the college festivals. And, you know, like, I think even Sandhya can tell us about that, like, because I'm sure, like, she's been to quite a few over the years.
Yeah, I think in terms of, like, college fests, which really mattered back in the day, where you had Mood Indigo, you had Strawberry Fields, you had Malhar, and all of these basically, I mean, I think Malhar and Mood Indigo were related, right? I mean, in Bombay, and Strawberry Fields was in Bangalore. These were the two, and Sarang at IIT Madras, where the focus on music was very heavy. But even, and like they rightly mentioned, it was more about, you had like bands coming together at that age group, and the main act would always be a commercial group or a band or an artist, which would 99% of the time be someone associated with the film industry. Like, it is only now that you have large independent acts actually, you know, maybe headlining a music festival or actually having these kind of festivals like an NH7. And I mean, I remember when Eastwind had come out, and we were all just like, you know, wow, this is so cool. And we're happy to see something like this happening in India finally, because we never really had that kind of exposure. And even the artists would come to perform from abroad, like we'd have like a one-off Michael Jackson in the 90s, or, you know, we didn't really see big names till like, I think, early 2000s, when we had a GNR or an Iron Maiden. And again, there's a lot of rock related culture, because it comes from the kind of that generation which was actually consuming it was the generation that was raised on rock. And today, thankfully, we do have people who are open to listening into a lot more and experimenting a lot more with music. And I think that comes from, that originates from having these music festivals or having access to these culturals, you know, like what Ritnika mentioned, you're having those kind of programs like managed by a college. So you know those names because you've heard them when you were studying, or, and now it's kind of evolved into them, some of them actually continuing as bands and continuing to perform and putting on music. So they do have like historical audience or like fans and followers who kind of heard them out like right when they started out. So it plays a very big part in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, it's, you know, it's incredible information, incredible insight, you know, into, you know, the world of, I mean, we're kind of seeing an evolution here. We're talking about like how trends have shifted and changed. I mean, for myself, like, see, I toured in India before, so I have like a firsthand experience of, you know, touring, playing festivals. Like I do have the experience. I mean, I did it years ago, and the thing was is that, like, you know, being in a rock project, we were an English rock band, you know, like members with, you know, Indian, like people from India in the band itself. But the thing was, like, I found it was like, it was kind of, there wasn't really, like, there was an audience live, like people loved it when we played at the festivals, they loved it in the theaters, but it wasn't something that was really catching people online. And the thing is, like, let's be honest, like India is probably one of the greatest places to develop online, because it's such a, you know, a great place for so many people to kind of check you out, right? So that was a kind of a mysterious thing for me, is that I found that, like, I saw people really enjoying our show live. Like, I saw them, like, I saw the audiences, like, going crazy. We had encores and stuff, but it didn't catch the fire online, you know? So that's where I want to bring my next question. And I guess I'm going to start with Renika here. When we talk about foreign artists coming into the country, kind of let's talk about like how this kind of happens. Like, so I'm a guy, I'm playing music all over the United States or in Europe. And, you know, I got a good following and I'm like, man, I'd really like to get into the music industry in India. And I want to distribute my music and I want to kind of build my career. What am I doing? And let's talk to all three of you about that. Like, what am I doing to, and is there a chance for me to really do something in India?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, coming into India is just the same as an Indian artist trying to go play abroad, you know? So first step is, of course, release your music, whether through a label, whether through a digital distributor, hint, hint, CD Baby, but whatever it is that you want to, you know, however it is, get your music out there, because, and then use your social media pages or whatever to really promote your music in the territories you really want to do. So the good thing about being on streaming networks and on social media is you can find out where your fans are, you know, where your music is being consumed the most. And then B, you can target promotions to certain territories so your music kind of does well. You have to understand that if you are not very known, it is very hard for you to get paid gigs in the country. It's really simple. It's like an Indian artist who is barely known in their own country wants to go outside India to play. You know, they're not going to get too many gigs. If you're a huge artist, like we book big artists like Jungle and Power of Stella and stuff for Sula Fest. Everybody knows them. And at the end of the day, a festival is a business. So if you are known and if you're going to pull a crowd, you're going to get booked. So in order for you to reach a festival level, you need to have that kind of fan base. You can also do club shows. You can easily come and do club shows. But again, you have to be known. So the first step is to kind of build an audience, maybe even hire a PR person in that country to see if they can kind of push you out there a little bit. Then maybe see if someone's interested in booking you just for some clubs where you're okay with not getting paid, but maybe just have some of your costs being covered, and then slowly work your way up. You know, the other alternative is you get really big in your own country and everybody knows about you so that, you know, you can straight away go play at a festival. But it's pretty much the same. You have to have a name, you know, simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. Like, where I feel like the ones that always succeed in India, the ones who succeed in coming repeated times at least, you know, and build their audience in India, are the ones who have that, you know, like networking down, who have that side of stuff really sorted, you know, like. Some of the artists that we've seen do that organically in India is quite good that way. So, you know, it's been quite promising that we've seen artists who can, you know, like show up once and then say that, okay, you know, like we did all this the first time and we know we have an audience here. So let's come back and do a tour the next time. So I've especially seen it happen more with rock and metal artists in India. And I guess one thing I suppose that really helps foreign artists sort of come to India, and this is a very sort of surface level observation, if I may, like, it feels like Indians love the fact that an international artist can come to India. Like, I think they just the fact that there's an international artist on any billing itself is quite hyped up by promoters, by fans, by everybody, you know. So that in itself really is quite has quite the pull. So every time, like, I've seen a festival poster where they mention like an international artist, I think that itself draws a lot of curiosity from Indians. So I would say for bands, it definitely works.
Well, I wanted, just before I give the mic to Sanya, I wanted to comment on that actually, because I think in all of my travels that I've been on, like, India probably has the sweetest people I've ever interacted with. And that, like, I'm not just trying to, I mean, I'm saying this in a recording that's going to be amongst everybody, but I mean, really, it was the sweetest people, the sweetest audience. I mean, it was the people who kind of gave us the most nurturing feedback, and it was, you know, probably the best social experience I've had you know, touring in a country. But yeah, Sanya, would you like to continue on the point we're talking about there?
Yeah, I mean, just also taking off where Anurag left in terms of, you know, the, I think it's also an attitude towards how we see a foreigner coming and playing, say, a language that is known to him or her. So if you have like an artist who's coming from France and playing French music here, as opposed to who's being perhaps pitted against the local indie artists who are also maybe performing in French or English, because they are technically foreign languages to us, right? Like the reception is still going to be limited to a very niche crowd. And it's not going to be like consumed at the same level that like a film industry, okay. Like film industry.
Wait, let's talk about that. Consumed. Let's focus on that point. I think you just nailed something there that I really want to kind of extract. So let's talk about that. So dive into that. So what is the difference and why do you think that is? And kind of try to give me some mechanics behind that, please.
This is a conversation that I've had with my husband, who's a musician as well. And we've kind of like, you know, talked about it in the context of if we had to move abroad and if we had to perform there or if we had to create music there, how would it be? Like, because you're going to be pitching yourself against artists who have English as their native. And how do you compete with that? Because you are still technically a foreigner, as opposed to an Indian artist going abroad and maybe performing in his or her regional language, which is also maybe popular there. So you do have singers like Sid Sriram, who's originally from India, but he's a US citizen. And he's a huge name in the country. Like he's one of the most popular singers down south. And he has a massive following in any country that has a Tamil population. So I'm talking about, you know, relating that to the, using that same logic applied to someone who's coming into India and perhaps creating music that will resonate with the population here. And it's going to be harder because you have that many more regional languages. And if you're going to be doing English music, then it might be relatively easier for you to like climb up that ladder because it's a native language. It's something that comes naturally to that artist. And then it just boils down to like the actual production value or your actual talent. And if I don't want to say that we have mediocre indie English artists, we don't. We have some exceptionally good ones who have actually even crossed over and done really well abroad as well. But I think it's not going to be as hard for a foreign artist, so to speak, to come to India and you know, provide music that is native to him or her versus an artist who has to go abroad and, you know, work with a foreign language, which is even though that perhaps like a first language for the person who's, you know, creating that music, it might be something harder for them to push through.
Okay. Yeah. And I can appreciate that. And I kind of want to add a little bit of a sentiment that is like, I think, you know, like we booked Thakuram Bridge Thakuram Bridge. How do I pronounce that? Thakuram Bridge. Thakuram. We booked them in Summerfest lot or in 2019. And then they were actually the first Indian band that played at that festival in Milwaukee, which was kind of alarming because that festival has been for 51 years, right? Like I was like, huh, that's the first one. And it's the biggest, literally the biggest festival in the world. But from there, they toured across the United States and Canada, and they were playing big shows in Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, like Dallas, Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, like all over the place, right? And so the thing is, like the world, and I know that's mostly because, you know, they sing in five languages, including English, and they also, you know, they're catering to like the Indian populations inside of the United States and Canada. And I mean, we know that there's like Indian people all over the world because the, you know, the education system there is, I mean, it's done a good justice. Like if you come to Canada, most of the Indian people there are doctors, lawyers, engineers, like, you know, the very top of the food chain, you know? So the thing is like, I'm excited and I'm really wanting to see that, like, India, not just be inside of India, you know, like Indian artists stomping inside of India, but also being in the world, because there's a whole world waiting for it, you know? And I think the thing is, like, even exposing my friends to some Indian bands that are like not singing in English, but like just the music and like the energy, like it's, I mean, the first time I saw Thakkar Bridge live, or like Agam live, or these bands, like I was like shocked. Like I was like, this is crazy. You know, like these are like epic long songs. They're like supercharged. The crowd's nuts. Like it was like a real, it was like a total experience, you know, that I'd never had anywhere before. Seriously, you know, so that's something that's very, you know, I just wanted to touch on. Like it's, I think the rest of the world is waiting for India as well. Before I move on to my last question, does anyone want to comment on that?
Yeah, man, no, that's cool. I mean, I guess I just wanted to add on to that to say that, like, it's again, sort of reflects the diversity of India in the sense of how much it is, in fact, influenced by the world around it, rather not just itself, you know, even though within India, there's so much culture and there's so much sort of, you know, identity attached to, you know, language and things like that. Like at the same time, you know, kids are entirely, you know, they'll tell you that they've entirely grown up on Dream Theater, or they've entirely grown up on just listening to Bob Dylan or something like that. So, you know, there are those kind of really, there's really that kind of identity. There's really that kind of growing up that happens in India, which in fact contributes to this sort of thing, like all of these things, basically.
Okay, so Radhnika, I'm going to throw you the last question here, and then we can, you know, kind of go through that. And then maybe we can all, if you want, anyone can take a final statement, you know, because I mean, we've been talking about such a kind of huge topics here kind of thing. What's your aspirations for the Indian music industry? Like what are you hoping to see? How are you seeing it develop? Like what's coming, Radhnika? Like talk to me about what's coming ahead and what you'd how you'd like to see it all work out.
We're going to be the best in the world. No. Well, I mean, I think what's happened, and you know, I have said this at a couple of conferences, and I think people may or may not agree, but I feel like the good thing of COVID is that it's given artists time to kind of stop just the touring aspect and start exploring different avenues of the music industry. Up till now, I'm not saying everyone, but a lot or a majority of the Indian artists, their main focus was to play shows. And obviously you need to play shows to make the kind of money you do. But a lot of them weren't releasing music, weren't focusing on their social media. Most have no idea what publishing income is, and they have no clue how to, what copyright is or whatever, you know, any of that. But I feel now, because they have nothing else to do, they can't tour, they're suddenly like, oh, I better finish those, you know, those singles that I've never recorded, or what is publishing and how do I make money out of that? Oh, let's do a course. Let's attend a workshop. Let's understand. Let's call Sandhya and bug her and ask her what is copyright, you know? But I feel like now, because of COVID, so I, you know, that's one good thing that's come out of it, is that people are suddenly now paying attention to different aspects. And I feel like things like releasing music, especially for independent artists, I have seen a huge growth, you know, in the last year and a half, with the amount of songs that are coming out from artists, even Bollywood artists, because film industry was shut, they were releasing their own independent music. And so I feel the next few years, we're not only going to see a rise in artists releasing music, for especially in the independent sector, but I feel like suddenly other avenues of the industry are going to start growing, which I find very exciting, because I represent like 4 or 5 companies that take care of all of that, you know, and hopefully live will come back. So yeah, that's what I think. I think the next 5 years, hopefully if Corona goes away, things are going to get really good, you know.
Please, yeah. What do you want to say about that, Sam? Yeah, please give me your perspective on where do you think it's heading, and what are your aspirations for the industry itself? You know, from your standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything that Radhnika said, and this is something which I had like mentioned even like on one of the Million Clubhouse sessions that I've been like actively attending, that, you know, everyone's taking this time to like kind of understand the nuances of how the system itself works, like what are the royalties that apply to them, who do they go register with, how do copyright societies work, whether that actually, you know, whether it's even useful to register with a copyright society. And I'm glad that they've got that time to do it. I just hope they sustain that, you know, the drive that they have right now. But I think more importantly, and I think this is also from a very emotional perspective, what I really want is for the musicians and the community, the artist community itself, to be a little more united in terms of how they approach, whether it's a, you know, setting a certain kind of a standard for themselves, like benchmarks, so that they're not undercutting each other, because that kind of goes against everything. Like, you know, even if you have laws that help you or, you know, sustain or in require you to have like a minimum standard, if you're going to go against it and kind of like set someone else back, you're not just setting that other person back, but the entire community. So I think that is something which I genuinely hope artists work on, in terms of understanding that, you know, just because someone, you know, that they shouldn't be like underselling themselves to get ahead. So, and I hope that with the independent music flourishing, the scene flourishing, people are going to be a lot more conscious of that. I think because we're having this conversation, I think it's a good place to be in.
Thank you for that. That was, I mean, that's super important as well. And you know, it is about each person's perspective from your own kind of your own perch, like where you're sitting. Anurag, as far as journalism, like I know that you already have done like interviews with like huge artists, you know, American artists, Indian artists, everywhere artists, you know, like I know that you've done interviews with like Tool and everybody kind of thing. So for you, how, like, what are you seeing in, you know, like into the future, and how do you think it's, how it can improve, or from your aspect as a journalist, like, you know, what's coming?
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, I feel like what has slowly changed over the years is that international publications have been a little more interested in knowing about what's going on in India, not just on that industry music business sense, but also in terms of what artists are doing and what kind of music artists are making. And, you know, it might be a product of the fact that artists are making music that's similar to, you know, what is globally relevant, or it's that Indian music has in fact maybe become part of the sort of, you know, I guess just the larger conversation around having more diverse music put to the front of the industry. And so I guess that's what I generally hope for, like, you know, like to add to what Sandhya and Ritika said, like, it just feels like a sense of community within India, and just artists engaging more with not just gigs and, you know, like the online sense, that will definitely help sort of Indian music in India, independent music in India, get to like a much more global stage where they have a lot more global listenership. And as a journalist, that makes it that much more easier for me to tell their story in an accurate way, and to sort of put together all the sort of context to it in terms of that, you know, that, hey, that, you know, this is not just four guys in Chennai who were influenced by an indie rock band, you know, like they were much more than that, because they're obviously a product of India in a sense. So yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, I get to tell those kind of stories for a larger global audience, basically.
And, you know, just to kind of back up your statement, like I can see that in the Indian artists that I've interacted with, that not only like, you know, if they're influenced by Western artists, is that they take their culture, or they take like the immediate, you know, the interpretation of their culture with them as well. And I think it's so significant because it gives such a colorful and broader taste of, you know, pop music itself. So, I mean, I think India, like the thing is about India, it truly has been a world of its own amongst a world. And I think that's something that we're really going to see as more Indian artists, you know, come to more pop, you know, to more eyes and ears around the world as well. So I'm going to wrap this up here, but like, because we've covered so much information and you guys have been so great about this, I just kind of want to give everyone here like a chance just to have a final statement. If there's something that you didn't get to say or didn't get to cover, like, you know, just say it now, because I mean, you know, we've gone over a lot of information, and I think it's absolutely useful information as well. And the last part is, like, I just want to talk about the collaboration part. Like, that's another thing I want to say about India. Is another thing I noticed is that, like, my colleagues there, like at Wonderwall Media or like other companies, like, people are super open to working together. And I haven't really, like, people may act like that in like other countries, but they, you know, like, it's kind of like a little bit of a, you know, playing or kind of like a false kind of, you know, representation. But I found in India, it was a lot more genuine, you know, like, if we're going to do something, like, you know, let's bring it together. So I have a lot, just all positive experiences inside of the industry that I have had. So I wanted to end with that. So please, anybody wants to say anything, like, yeah, here's your, you know, here's your 2 minutes, like, let it go.
Ritika, I know you want to say something.
I have nothing to say. I would just say, don't give up and keep making music, man. That's all.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my biggest grouse, so to speak, has been, you know, on two fronts. Like, I just wish people paid more attention to non-film music as well and the kind of popularity. So it has to be a systemic change, because it also depends on the kind of music that's being supplied to the audience at large. So how do we change that? So I think that's like a behind the scenes kind of assignment that people who are like us, like Anurag or like Ritmika or like you, like, I mean, you're also an artist. I'm talking about people who enable the artist. We need to do a lot more work in terms of, like, figuring out this supply chain and ensuring that different kinds of music are being supplied for consumption, and that labels have lesser control. So that has always been something that's hung over my head, and I feel really bad about it, and I wish I could do something to change it, but it's not just me. It's like, it has to be a united effort. So yeah, that's my last.
Okay. So yeah, more kind of like mainstreaming it, or kind of like, you know, like, keep the cultural aspect, but let's start like getting the independent acts more attention, kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if everyone else, you know, have said their piece, then we'll adjourn this. And, we wanted to go about 15 minutes, but we went probably about an hour, and that's totally okay, because I think the information here has been pertinent, and it's, you know, super useful. So thanks, everybody. And I will be seeing you at Live at Heart.
Yeah, yay. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.